Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace to everybody. How are you? You come to get some food for the soul. You've been replete with everything else, but it's not satisfying the soul. Money can't buy that happiness. It won't bring you peace, not even a six-pack of peace. You can't buy it. But possibly here on the Deen Show, if you have an open mind, humble heart, and you're willing to let the truth sink in, it'll come, because we got someone's story that we want to share with you. So don't go anywhere. This is another exciting show. We'll be right back with our next guest, Imam John, here on the Deen Show. Don't go nowhere.
This is the Deen Show.
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 Back here on the Deen Show, Imam John, assalamu alaikum, peace.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What'd you say?
Peace and blessings and mercy of God be upon you.
I just love, that is the most wonderful greeting and no exaggeration. We greet each other with peace. We're people of peace, is that right?
Oh yeah, no doubt about it, bro.
I'm not leading you now. You know, they say stop leading the witness. Is this the truth?
Yes, this is the ultimate truth of Islam. It comes from Salim, Salam, peace.
People have heard me say this all the time. I can't get enough of it. Mm. You know, people say, hello, how you doing? What's up? But we say peace. Peace be with you. So if a person is wishing peace with all the media hype, people maybe just tuned out from CNN, Fox News, and they might have caught some radical fanatic, which is maybe 0.5% of this whole 1.5 billion that are out there of those who have submitted consciously, not to the creation, but to the creator, the one who created creation. That's the one we worship. But now the people got some funny idea. These guys, Arab fanatics, you're an American, used to be a Christian, Catholic, then you were born again. Now you ended up a Muslim. Some people think now this guy's joined some fanatical, radical cult. You know what I mean? What do you got to say about that? Let's start off with that.
Well, Islam is the nature of the reality between the creator and the creation, brother. When we look at the essence or the beginnings of the concept of Islam, when God created angels, He caused them to be submitters to His will. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, it says in the Quran, and they do as they're told. And so this obedience to the creator is the essence. So that lifestyle is quite natural to anybody or anything. The Quran in many different places, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that glorifying God is all of the heavens and the universe. Everything there is grateful and in humble service to the Creator that gave them their right to exist. So we live in a peaceful state doing that.
Catholics outnumber born-agains, is that right?
Oh yeah, Catholics, okay. Big group.
Big group. You were part of that big group growing up. Your family was Catholic. Right. Tell us a little about that.
Well, my parents were from the secular style of religion. So they were both raised in schools like Catholic religious schools and boarding schools where priests and nuns were running the show. And they both, my parents, had experiences growing up learning all of the sacraments and theology, but they did not get that spiritual fulfillment they were looking for in their life. And so, as a result, me growing up, religion was really some sort of cultural aspect of our life. You know, we have the Christmas and Easter celebrations, and then every now and then we may go to a mass, which is a church Sunday. That would be probably once in a blue moon, as they say. But other than that, there really wasn't much instruction or teaching in our lives growing up about God. And to be honest with you, my dad is, you know, a very decorated football star from the Oklahoma Sooners. And so growing up, for me to wear orange, the Texas Longhorns colors, would be sacrilegious compared to coming home and saying, for example, I don't believe in Catholicism. So it wasn't that strong, but I knew of it because, you know, the Catholic tradition was there and it was sporadically coming up in our life.
So how did you now, okay, you're Catholic, your parents are Catholic, and usually people just go with the flow. Okay, mm-hmm. This is what my great-grandparents were, this is what their parents were, my ancestors. I'm not going to leave anything else, you know? Right. People don't give it much thought. They just kind of blend in. You didn't blend in, or you did blend for some time, but then you became born again Christian.
Yeah. To be honest with you, brother, I often, whenever I go visit our brothers and sisters in humanity from other faith traditions, I often leave them with, after talking about the beauty of Islam and respecting what they have to say about their tradition, I often leave them with this point. I tell them, nobody in this room will say that their religion that they follow is right simply because they were born into it. That does not make it right. That makes it something from your family's culture. What makes it right is searching, reviewing, researching into the history of that text, into where did it come from? Where did these dogmatic beliefs come from? What is the prophecy? What is the tradition behind it? What is the miraculous nature of the one it was revealed to? When somebody looks into all of that, searches their heart, looks into common sense and historical reality of revelation, those people often embrace Islam. So my beginnings of that was actually at a very young age. I used to pray to God, knowing that there is this all-knowing, all-powerful, all-hearing entity that created the universe. And I really wasn't moved, as I said, from Catholicism. So touching on your question, I was about 11 years old, and I had a friend down the street, Adam, and his family were devout Baptists. And so they used to go to church every Sunday, even Wednesday, for Bible study and things like this. And they used to really try to indoctrinate me and help me to see the light. And what's interesting, brother, is that in that relationship, they clearly made it seem like Catholicism is not right. It's not true Christianity. And that I need to be saved in the name of Jesus according to their tradition.
These were the...
This is Baptist.
Baptists are saying that the Catholics, they're not on the right way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I went to the church, did the special sinner's prayer and all of this, and the guy put his hand on my head and pushed me and told me that Jesus is in my heart and all.
Did you fall down?
I didn't fall down, but I wanted to believe it.
Did the Holy Ghost come in you?
That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I was wanting to have all my... Anybody wants all their sins to be washed away with a free ticket to heaven type deal. Anybody's going to go for, especially a young child or poor people in Africa that have no food and they're coming within and say, this is going
to
save you.
So you were waiting for something mystical to come overtake you.
I was looking for God. So whenever I embraced this, then it turned out that I didn't follow through with it because of there's a funny story, to be honest.
Share that with us.
Yeah. My mom took me to, and my mom struggled with, you know, many different husbands, and none of them were really up to par of a decent man. And so she was working two jobs and struggling to make ends meet. And so we went to the grocery store one time. And of course, as I'm sure you did growing up, I used to collect baseball cards and things like this. And so I asked her, can we get some baseball cards? And she said no. And so I ganked some, as they say. I snatched them. And I put them in my pocket. And I had been claiming to my mother for months before that I'm saved and Jesus is in my heart. And there's no desire to sin because now I'm one with God and Jesus. Jesus is in me, I'm in him, and so forth and so on.
You said gang something. That's like slang for stole.
Yeah. And so as we're going out of the store, I get into the car and my mom, she says, what's that sound? You know, a mom, you can't put nothing by mom.
Yes,
mom Dukes. So I told her, I said, nothing. So now I'm lying about stealing, and Jesus is in my heart.
Now you stole and you're lying.
Yeah, about it, yeah. So because this is the kind called Upper Deck, which is a kind that came out, was real silver, you know, like aluminum style or whatever, crinkly paper. So then she reached over and grabbed the baseball cards out of my She said, "What is this?" So she went in and mocked me in front of this, in front of the manager. She said, "This is my son who says he's saved and Jesus is in his heart, and he's stealing and lying to his mother about it." And all that. So I was really.
She just took you back to the store and
yeah, that's how, let you know, have that's it. That's how she has to do it. You know, yeah. She's trying to teach me a lesson.
Yeah.
So after that, brother, I started to take an introspective look at this whole idea of no desire to sin and one with God, and can you be one with God if you sin and all of this. And so that, just talking with different priests, I became somewhat of an agnostic after that point. I mean, I was just kind of like, okay, well, I know there's a God. It seems like there's a God. I feel it. I pray to him. I know that. But I can't connect with this religion. They're saying Jesus is God, but yet he was human. And then they're saying he died. And there's all kind of stories that I wasn't able to connect.
Mm-hmm. So. Let's hold off right there. We got a lot more to ask you. We'll be right back here with Imam John on The Dean Show.
On the outside, everything looks good. You see the $100,000 cars. You see a lot of diamonds. You see a lot of females. And they think that this is, you know, this is the life. This is like, you know, paradise right here on earth.
It's not anyone's job to go into someone's heart and change their heart. Your job is to tell people what the truth is.
And the reality of it is, while I'm sitting here constantly paying for the disease, the cure was free.
If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Dean Show with John Yahya. So which one is it? Is it John or Yahya? Should I call you John?
My name is John.
John.
I became nicknamed Yahya the first day I walked into a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
So wait, what is for our brothers in humanity, as you said, there are brothers in humanity who've never heard this term. Yahya is one of the prophets of God?
Yeah, to be honest with you, because in America here, we have a culture rooted in what we call the people of the books tradition.
Mm-hmm.
They've identified the names of the prophets here in an English dialect, right? And the Quran identified prophets who were not Arabs in Arabic words to make the flow of the Quran recognize those people. So Yahya is John the Baptist. He is
John
the prophet.
The Baptist.
Yeah, so he's the prophet. Going back to our story, interesting, huh? So he's the cousin of Jesus, peace be upon him.
Mm-hmm. So that's who you're named at, John, and just in Arabic, Yahya, who is John the Baptist.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. So continue on now. So you and this is a growing trend. You see a lot of people who will leave, or they'll stay as Christians, but they don't believe the whole Trinity.
Yeah.
They don't believe the whole concept of someone dying for their sins, or they'll believe it just kind of using it as a JC gold card, I call it, you know, just in case it's real, I'll die. I got all these sins, a free ticket, free ride. But at the end, you know, most people, some of them, it's a growing trend going towards this agnosticism or atheism because they can't make sense of what their parents are on. So they put all religions in the same boat. They say they're all man-made. These are all just opinions of men.
Right.
So you were there, right?
Yes.
What happened next?
So at this point of time, I'm around 13, 14 years old. And my sister, my older sister that lived with me, was starting to dabble into a hippie world and things like this. And some of the, you know, she was following the Grateful Dead. I don't know if you know about that.
I heard
culture.
Of them, yes. It's like a rock and roll band. Rock and roll.
Yeah, back in the day, the hippies used to follow them around all over the country, leave a normal life. It was like a permanent Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, my sister got delved into that. And of course, naturally, our household had some of the things that go on in that environment in it. So basically, as I delved into that lifestyle, then I'm in eighth grade and I start to meet some characters at school and start to get into some trouble, got arrested in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so Basically, my dad jumped into the picture, who he hasn't lived with me since I was 7 years old at this point, but he wants to try to help out. He said, you know what, son, I'm going to send you to Bishop Kelly High School, which is a Catholic school. So he thinks that that's going to set me straight. Well, he's thinking of Catholic schools when he was a kid, which now he's 73, so this is back in the early 50s when he was in Catholic school. So I'm sure it was a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
At that point, we're talking about 1991, 92. So I went to Catholic school. Well, believe it or not, at Catholic school and at the parties that are involved in Catholic school, I started to meet some characters that were shady. They were not the good people. And I started to get worse than that. But at the same time, I started to think about my relationship with God, and I used to discuss with a priest there. His name's Father Dan. And I was almost killed in a car accident when I was 15 years old as a freshman. And I really had kind of a revelation. I need to, you know, look for God, you know. Just, you feel like that anytime you come close to that point.
Was this at the agnostic stage now?
Yeah, I was kind of in the middle, you know. I wasn't, so I used to have long conversations with Father Dan about God and things like this. And believe it or not, I was in our discussion. So Father Dan does not know that whenever I'm not at school, or even sometimes when I'm at school, I'm involved in some pretty un-Christian-like activities. But my spiritual thinking and theological, philosophical introspection and reading of the Bible and trying to understand and reconcile was pretty intense at that point. So they had me, I was actually ordained as a youth peer counselor by Bishop Slattery of the Northeastern Diocese of the Catholic Church of Oklahoma. And so at that point, I started to think about faith, but shortly after that, I went off into the deep end. I got kicked out of Bishop Kelly. My peer counselor status was removed, and I pretty much left school for a year and started really getting into the wrong crowd. So in a nutshell, after a few years of this, a close friend of mine, Pat Marshall, was planning a robbery, and he was trying to plan some elaborate thing, but in the end, things didn't work out to the way. One, he shot a guy for, ended up being $20.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was no access to whatever he was trying to get to. And so Pat ended up in jail for good. And
this was a friend of yours?
Good friend of mine. Yeah. Yeah. And so he went to jail. And then another friend of mine, Mike, was drinking and driving. And he was decapitated in a very horrible car accident on the highway. And so people are dying. And then in another case, I'm sitting in a house, it gets raided, you know, everybody's being arrested and all of this, and they're trying to put major charges on us for what's going on in that house. And in a nutshell, I'm really thinking about what I'm doing. At this point, I'm, you know, 17 years old. And so I'm really thinking, what am I doing? What is this life about? Am I going to go the route of these characters and end up dead or in jail for the rest of my life? Or am I going to do something with myself? So as I mentioned before, I always took a spiritual philosophical route. So once I was blessed through my dad's attorney, Bobby Jackson, to get out of that situation, I started to really rethink what I was doing in my life. And so I researched and read. I took philosophy, comparative religion courses, and things like this, psychology in the community college. I wasn't looking for a degree. I was looking to understand what's going on. And in that process, I came to a conclusion of a universalist ideology. I'm sure you're a Unitarian Universalist.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, okay, well, God's one. He's obviously touched mankind and sent some inspiring messages. The law and the concept of good and right and wrong is all defined, but people have all argued about who is God and what's all that, so I'm just going to stay out of all of that. After that point, I met a guy. I was at an Olive Garden restaurant trying to get away from the people and the environment, trying to train to get a job as a waiter. And the guy who's the head waiter there is a Muslim from Pakistan. And so we ended up having some discussions that were quite interesting, because And this is for our Muslim viewers here, the state of Dawah, and that's back in 1998. So the state of Dawah was so bad that all I knew about Muslims was the Black Panther, Black Nation of Islam movement, and then the original World Trade Center bombing that happened in 92. So that's all I knew. And so I told him, I'm not black, and I'm not into some Arab translation of the Bible that tells everybody to kill everybody. Mm-hmm. That's all I knew from it. And that's pre 9/11.
Yes.
Right? So that's where the Muslims were at in presenting themselves. And at that point, from what we know from statistics, Muslims were about 5 million in this country at that point. So, So in retrospect, I ended up going and buying a Quran translation from the local Barnes & Noble. And I was captivated, bro. Within just half of Baqarah, I'm reading it. And that was while sitting there, looking through the book at the bookstore. So I went and bought it and I picked it up. And it moved me so much. And it systematically cleared up my confusions and misconceptions about biblical history and understanding the concept of prophethood and God and salvation. All of those things were clarified, and I really felt attached to this book.
The Quran.
Yeah. The translation of the Quran moved me heavily. So within 7-8 days, I had read most of it. You know, I did a little skipping around, wanted to know about Jesus and certain things. But I read a large portion of it in like, so I came back to the, and here's another sad reality in the state of our da'wah. I come back to the Pakistani brother, and I told him, I think I want to become Muslim. His response was, I've seen you and the way you talk and the people you hang with. You know, this is American lifestyle. You can't be Muslim. Mm-hmm. This is his response to somebody who comes and I want to become Muslim. So obviously he has no idea about his responsibility as a bearer of the divine light, of the guidance that was finally preserved and revealed through the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So that's a sad reality. So I just pretty much stayed on my own as a Muslim for about a year and a half after that.
Let's hold it right there. We got to go to break, and we'll be right back with more here with Imam John Yahya here on the Deen Show.
Allah, there's only one God. People often say to me, why have you become a Muslim? No, I give a very frivolous answer. I say, I want to be on the side of the angels.
Allah, there's only one God. Tupac is a God. He's the number one rap artist in the world. He sold over 60 million records worldwide.
60 million?
60 million. He was a young guy who had basically everything that some of the youth would think that life is all about. He had everything you can imagine.
The Deen Show.
I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Deen Show with Yahya, Imam Yahya, John, you mentioned earlier, from John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you get in all into, it's kind of something that is odd. It's outlandish now for a youth your age because parties going on.
Yeah.
Boys chasing the women mm-hmm. trying to look good for the boys, and that's all that's on the mind. Mm-hmm. MTV Cribs, mm-hmm. you know, and all the other things
Jersey
that are.
Jersey Shores and all
Jersey Shore, all the other things. Now you want to bring up religion, you're the oddball.
Yeah.
I mean, how did it come to that point? It seemed like, okay, Catholic, born again, and these deaths are happening in front of you, and seemed like you're spiritual. Were your friends that way? What motivated you? You were searching for God, for the Creator.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
purpose.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's basically what we call in the Arabic language, fitra, the innate, inherent programming or motivation to know that there is a one pure divine source of everything. And that he is good and giving and creative in nature, and we should embody that. I mean, that's something built in all of us. Do not destroy, do not corrupt, do not be spreading the antithesis to that. So that's built in, and I always had it, but the cards that I was dealt, as they say, led me the opposite path, but all the time I was looking at it going, these people are jacked up, man.
Yeah.
This is not right.
You were intelligent enough to know that, look, they're going the wrong way.
I mean, I used to be in situations where I would realize somebody's immorality, taking advantage, for example, of women and things like this, and robbing people, you know, and taking advantage of people. And so I used to come down hard on people, and they'd be like, but what? You know, you were doing this the other day and that the other day. So the hypocrisy I was struggling with was definitely a dichotomy.
Yeah.
And so as I'm reading the Quran now, you know, about 18 years old, I'm starting to struggle with, you know, alcohol is forbidden, pork's forbidden, need to keep a strong spiritual program in the day, prayers regularly and so forth. I'm trying to understand that because I don't have the detailed example of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So I'm just trying to make it as I can and philosophizing with people that I'm around. And so in the end, basically, I was blessed to walk into a sandwich shop with my pants sagging, my hat twisted up, and, you know, and the guy that I thought he was Greek, you know, and so he says, you know, what do you want? I'll take a gyro. And I went back, and then he got on the phone, assalamu alaikum. I was like, oh, I know, I saw Malcolm X, the movie. This is, you know, it's in the Quran. It says, salamu alaikum, peace be upon
you. That's how we started the show, peace be with you.
So then I went over to him, I said, you're Muslim? He said, yeah, and I said, I'm Muslim. He looked at me up and down, and I was like, whoa, you're a Muslim? And so I said, yes, yes, yes. And so he gave me the directions to the local mosque. And so I went there, and right when I walked in the door, it was very peaceful, calm, clear venue, you know, pictures and statues and seemingly fake added decoration. It was just simply a house of worship. So I went in there and I was trying to, I don't know how to pray. I'm just, you know. And then the muezzin brother comes to me. He's like, oh, are you Muslim? I said, yeah. He said, what's your name? I said, John. He said, no, no, no. It's not right. I said, why? He said, because John is a non-Muslim name. I said, oh, I figure this guy knows his stuff. He's the guy here. He's an older man, you know. So I said, okay. I said, but, you know, but John was a name of a prophet that's in the Quran. He was like, no, 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 the Quran does not have John in it. And I said, yeah, John the Baptist, he's the cousin of Jesus. He said, no, that's Yahya. You're Yahya. So that was how it was.
That's how you got your name.
Yeah, yeah. Later on, I found out through studying Islamic legal theory and rulings, that that's a cultural thing he's trying to press. That in Islam, there's nothing that tells anybody that you need to change your name unless your name is contradicting it. So, like if somebody's name was Christian, which is common, obviously you would not continue as a Muslim called Christian.
Or like a pagan god or something.
Or something. That's how they had in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to, some people would come with these names, a slave of the pagan god, or even found it. After going back to the original point of peace, a man came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, one time and said, how are you doing, the Prophet? Yeah, I'm doing fine, salamu alaikum. And then he says, what's your name? He said, Harb. My name is war. And so the Prophet said, no, that's not a good name. You should be Abdullah, the servant of God. So it was the Prophet in the authentic narration that we have who disdained being called war, although that was a common name that they had. So there's instances like this when somebody had a bad name. So anyways, I became a Muslim and I started being attached to that mosque. And over a period of about 6 months, I was able to pretty much remove myself, going back to what you said, from the environment. See, the thing is, of course, a lot of the youth are out there, a lot of the people that are coming up in the world from all different faiths, they're stuck in a world that says that material gratification, desires, interests of ego and self and enjoyment are what's most important. But that's how an animal thinks. And if you're going to buy the story that we're all monkeys, then I guess that's why you're thinking like that. But we're obviously spiritual beings. I mean, we know to wear clothing. We know to use the bathroom away from other people. Animals don't know that. They're obviously not on an intellectual... We know morals. Even an atheist will tell you, you should give money to the poor, right? But why? If you're atheist, there's benefit and harm. That is a harm to you to waste your money on that poor guy. Survival of the fittest, bro, if they want to be real to what they claim. But it's built in. That's that fitrah. We're spiritual beings. So I embraced that and I was able to have a very good environment at the Islamic Society of Tulsa and Masjid Salam. That mosque was a very strong environment and building a good Muslim identity. So environment is key. If you, we say it in English, if you lay down a dog to catch fleas. So fleas are a problem that dogs are itching and catching diseases from and stuff like that. So if you hang out with them, you know, those problems are going to come to you. So what you choose to put yourself into, it will hit you. For me, I found very quickly in my young life that bad things can get real bad real quick and you didn't even expect it. I mean, there's been situations where some girl makes straight A's in school and doing this fine and all of that, and she's hanging around a party before she knows she got date raped. She didn't even, she just thought, you know, she's on her way to get a scholarship at college. She's a good kid with rich parents. You don't know. There's guys that got into situations, found themselves arrested with DUIs, and I mean, you never know. So it's, the bad things can happen to you. And the reason why God has revealed the message is to preserve you, to save you, to give you safety. Iman comes from emina, which is to secure or bring safety. So faith in Islam is a safety net, a comprehensive lifestyle that will remove you from the corruptions and the vices of society and help you to build an environment that's beneficial to yourself and others on a spiritual platform.
We're almost out of time. We only have a couple minutes left. Tell us, in wrapping up now, you obviously, you're a thinking man, an intellectual, someone who was brought up, you're an American, you brought up in the culture, you went from the party scene to, you know, the born again, now you came to Islam. For those of our brothers in humanity, they were like, you know what, he didn't have the spirit and he didn't understand Jesus and his whole message. What do you believe now, or what do you know that really is the message of Jesus? And how do you address this question? Just in short, I have a couple more points to throw at you.
Yeah. In a nutshell, if we look at, number one, if you want to just take my example, I really believed and wanted, take it or leave it. Whenever I was young, when that preacher was talking about being saved and the emotional talk, and I was all pumped up, and I had just seen Jesus of Nazareth, you know, a little bit before, and the miracles and the light, I was all, so I went down there, confessing and saying the sinner's prayer and all of that. But in the end, my question is, what is the significance of needing someone to die for your sins? If you go to Judaism, which is where Christianity gets its roots, their understanding of salvation is follow the law of God to the best of your ability. If you slip up, make your repentance and sacrifice for God's sake and try not to fall again and ask God's forgiveness and change your lifestyle, and God will forgive you and so forth. Muslims, that's exactly what we believe. So in the middle, somebody got this thing that, oh, so we need some guy to die for our sins. But then if you ask a devout Christian, is it incumbent upon a real true Christian to avoid all sins, to pray regularly and fast and all that? They'll say yes. So okay, then what's the purpose of having someone die for your sins if you still have to do all of that? And so historically, the Jews, the tradition that they're coming from, they never understood that the Messiah's purpose will be to come to die for our sins. That was an idea that was developed sometime after Jesus. And so that is clearly a divergence from the tradition where we get the messianic prophecy. No Jew in the history ever understood that the Messiah is supposed to be God incarnate, nor is he supposed to die for our sins. So if we want to claim tradition and all of that, Islam understands the Messiah as the Jews did, and it was Jesus, peace be upon him, the holy prophet of God that God blessed and put a special touch on his soul with a word from him, putting him into Mary without any male human influence. So he is the creator of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him.
So and last question now, for those who are out there stuck in a world of confusion, and they don't believe in God being a human being or coming down, dying for the sins. They believe there is a creator, but they're stuck where you were, that, you know what, all religions are the same. They're man-made. You picked up the Quran. You were moved by it. What advice do you get people? How do you motivate them to pick up this book? You've read everything else, every fashion magazine, every car rider magazine. How do you get people to reflect more about there is a purpose, there is a system, and God Almighty is the one who's best to give us that system, and get them motivated to pick up the verbatim word of God, the Quran. Talk to them. Yeah. This is the last minute we got.
See, the thing is that it goes back to tradition, brother. In history, God has been revealing his message. In the Quran, minhum qasasnahum alayk wa minhum lam naqsusuhum alayk. There were prophets that walikulli qawmin had. There's so many verses of the Quran that indicate that all of mankind has received prophets throughout history. But there was a special covenant. and it was given to Abraham, a very special forefather of a very special tradition. One part of his covenant was to test and bless and choose or give preference to a special nation called the children of Israel. And so they were given all these prophets and all this revelation and all of this through the son of Abraham called Isaac. And so they had all of this. And their whole, the culmination, the end of that was to have a Messiah. Now, in the Bible that we have today, it says that there is another covenant through Ishmael. But Ishmael's covenant was not a matter of all these different prophets. It was a matter of finalizing prophethood. And that happened in the Prophet Muhammad. That's not my claim. That's something you can verify through studying and researching, looking into biblical history, looking into your heart, looking into the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and judging it objectively through the knowledge, not through the lens of people who hate Muslims and are trying to vilify and demonize Muslims.
We're really out of time. Just last thing, I just had to throw it. People, they've just been brainwashed. All this Islamophobia, boogeyman's coming to get you, Sharia and terrorism. You're going to join this cult. They want to kill us, take over our way of life. What do you got to say? They think now that, you know, if you join Islam, submission to the will of God, you become a terrorist. What do you got to say?
Islam is a system of mercy and compassion. And it is for the best benefit of all of the people that's around it, Muslim and non-Muslim. In a nutshell, there is no religion on earth that has a system built in its law of tolerating other religions as citizens of the theocracy. And so Muslims, till now, have 44 million Christian Arabs living among them in the Middle East. Those people have been there since the time the Muslims took political control over that land. Islamic law gave them their right to worship, to build their temples, to believe, and to even follow their beliefs. If they believe you can drink, as long as you don't drink with Muslims and cause corruption to Muslims, you can drink. Islam has tolerance and mercy and compassion. If you read the history of Spain before the Spanish Inquisition, when the ugly beast showed his face of terror and mayhem through the religion as it was done previously and throughout history by many religion and people who claim religion, you saw Spain was an example, Cordoba, Christians, Muslims, Jews coming together to use their collective intellectualism and spiritualism to benefit society at large. That's what this country was built on. That is something that we can all benefit from.
I've really enjoyed talking with you. Inshallah, God willing, we can have you back again to do some more programming with you. What do you think?
God willing.
God willing. Thank you. Thank you. May God Almighty bless you. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show, Purpose of Life. What is it? Is it just to have fun, party, and then die to accumulate so much wealth? Then it's all over. You got to leave it behind. Or is there something more to life? And Islam, this way of life of all the messengers of God, including Jesus, John the Baptist, Abraham, Noah, the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them all. They all submitted not to the creation, but to the creator, the one who created creation. And that is the way of life that brings you peace, happiness, success in this life and the next. Paradise, that's what we're striving for. And all upon a footing of pure monotheism. And then God Almighty is good. He only accepts good. And we are trying to do good. And that's why we're sharing this beautiful message of peace with the world. And pick up the book that changed this man's life and over 1.5 billion people in the world. The verbatim word of God, the Quran. You can get it for free. It won't cost you nothing. Give us a call. Operators are standing by. We don't need your money. We just need your sincere, open mind and humble heart. 1-800-662-ISLAM. Call and pick up this book that will change your life. We'll see you next time. Don't forget to pick up the new movie, Dunya Tadeen, also. And we'll see you next time. Peace be with you.